Final Fantasy if we have to.
That's about right.
That's a jump-off point.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
I found out that Star Wars Destiny game has dice, and I quit right there. I was like, nope, dice not doing it.
You lost me.
Yep, your game's
See,
trash.
Here's the thing, though. If a, I like games with dice when they're used to track information.
No, yeah, so sure. They were rolls.
Okay, that's less ideal. I mean, that's coin flips at that point. It's all the same shit, but...
Yeah, garbage.
Anyway.
Unless you're playing Space Alert.
Sure. Or MLB Showdown.
Wait, no.
hey,
but
everybody.
That game's awesome.
Yeah, that game's awesome.
Hi, y'all.
Just talking about...
We're going to talk about
things we might do.
That's right. We're going to talk about
planning it out.
The Dragon Ball Z card game, our life choices,
why we're here today,
the meaning of it all.
The card game
we
rebounds.
Gathered here today to remember.
And Marie.
A lot of these games are only good as a card game rebound.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Second.
Wow, card game.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not Hearthstone.
No.
My name is Dustin Morbido. I'm going to point at people and they can say their names.
Lorraine Morbido.
Hi, I'm Phil.
I've got room for Luke.
I'm Brian.
Hey, Brian.
And I'm coping gracefully.
that's like your letters to the... like.
You're better than some of us.
Yeah. Coping in Calamasas says, like,
right. I want to be Philip. Sorry, Brian, there can only be one.
Depressed in North Dakota.
So we definitely come to you with more pleasant circumstances as far as the Dragon Ball Z card game is concerned.
A tear in our eye and a sigh in our heart.
Yeah, this is not the ideal, like, this is not the situation any of us would have wanted, obviously. If you're listening to this, I'm assuming you weren't rooting for the game to die. Unless for some reason you're really into that Bandai thing, which... I mean, fuck off, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to beat around that. Just fuck off. Yeah, right. I promise you won't enjoy it, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no one's ever liked a Bandai game.
Yeah.
If you really, really like that Bandai game, I can only ask that you make like a tree and fuck off.
Except for Matt Lowe.
You're
nice
irredeemable.
Oh,
I mean, it's all trash. Water into the fridge now.
Sure.
If you have water in the fridge, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, that's
call a card game plumber.
But yeah, unfortunately, I mean, as you know, if you're listening to this, we love and all play the Dragon Ball Z trading card game.
In many iterations over many years.
That's right, yeah. for years and years, which as of this week is no more due to some kind of petty licensing. Like,
never
due to,
say never.
Due to boring...
corporate bullshit.
Yeah, boring corporate bullshit.
Legal fuckery.
Mm-hmm. But I would still stand by that, like... if people want to play the new game, I'm not going to actually hold it against them.
But if
you did like this game, I would suggest voting with your dollars. Because like there are other people like, oh, I'm going to make a petition. And like no one cares about that. But if you don't buy the new products,
they'll notice.
Yeah, exactly.
The biggest thing that's true with any kind of media like this is voting with your dollar.
Yeah.
If you completely disagree with something that happened because someone decided to do something, buying what the new party is doing is only gonna make it. It's the opposite of what
you're trying to accomplish. You're reinforcing their bad behavior, so to speak.
Yeah, also, exactly.
If you paint a lot into a collection and you're upset that it's not worth anything anymore,
shut up.
Well, that. But also, buying into the Bandai game right now is like the
worst thing you could possibly do. Right. You'd be doubling down on that volatility. I feel for people, and there's some cards that I have that I would have loved to unload when they were worth more money. Like, random foils that I was sitting on, and like, I don't really need these, but I just have them.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the thing people have to remember, and what Phil said is the most important part of this, because you can't do anything about the past, but you can think for yourself for the future.
Right, yeah.
Like, I would never treat any investment in a trading card game of any kind as a concrete, like,
this is
money that, like, these will have value that should build or maintain over time.
You're putting this money into a CD or anything.
Yeah,
all bets are off.
This is a bank account.
No.
The only game that even comes close to that would be Magic the Gathering.
Right.
And that's still purely a matter of how much business is involved around it.
Mm. Right.
Like, there's so much money in Magic period that you can probably expect those cards to maintain value more than in another card game.
Right.
But I mean...
you know, who owns that now?
I mean, it's still Wizards.
Yeah.
Like, well, Wizards got bought out by...
Hasbro. Hasbro is the parent company of all that.
If for some reason Hasbro went belly up, the market could take a hit. But even then, I would guess that somebody else would buy out Wizards and keep the game going.
Or Wizards would come back on its own.
It's also not impossible that Magic will pull a World of Warcraft and just people will start quitting and hemorrhaging players kind of for no reason. Like sure. Other things will eat into that market space.
And right. And
you never know what will happen.
Yeah, I'm only describing that as the safest bet because it's got such a lineage. And like I said, player base is just so large right now that it make that would make more sense. But like, don't. Treat it as a hobby. Like,
I understand not everyone was played the old game and went through this the last time it happened, but anyone who did remembers.
Oh, sure. Know,
the markets for the old DBZ cards tanked real bad, and then they came back a few years later stronger than ever just because they're collector's items.
That's not an exaggeration. Literally stronger than ever.
Yeah.
Some maybe cards two, were worth three, more.
Key four times more. Key intensities were going for four digits.
Right. Yeah, it was insane.
World Champion Punch is worth more now than it was during any point in the game.
That's exactly what I told Wade the other day. Yeah. Like some of those old promos, I sold them for $200 or $300 when I got them, and they were worth five times
way
as much
more now.
10 years later. So
your cards aren't worthless.
Especially the Gen Con World promos.
But right, again, even
you got
if they
into this
were,
for fun.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed yourself. Yeah, that is my heartfelt...
Anyway.
My heartfelt... longing for all of you out there is that you liked the time you had in the game. I know we all did.
Made friends. Enjoyed. Yeah.
Hung out with old friends.
Sure.
It was good. It's always nice to get with the people that you knew back in the day and do something that's, you know, fun and that you guys all enjoy.
Day one, that's what I was most excited about.
I got
to see Sean Hinman and like old friends who I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
We were basically on borrowed money here.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we all knew it wasn't going to last
like,
more
I can't
than
believe
3 years.
Came back.
Because, let's go all the way back to the beginning. And I think Lorraine, like, reading the thing that you wrote that we put on the website was, like, it was fun. It was fun to see you summarize that from, like, a slightly outside perspective.
Because
you hadn't been played or been involved in the game. Like, you knew that I had played card games at a pretty serious level at one point.
And then, when, like, I met all of y'all crazy people.
Lorraine knew she was Mrs. Ultimate Champion.
I was actually called that by someone. And
I believe it.
I wish I could remember their name, sorry. But I sat near them at the Last Chance qualifier, and they're like, "This is Ultimate Champion." I'm like, I know, right? Uh-huh. It was great. I remember, like, out of nowhere, like, once we were just over at, like, you're in Kyle's house, Bill, and you're just like, guys, it's
this
back.
This is a thing.
It's just kind of the weirdest update on my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
This can't be real.
Because it was straight from Comic-Con, right?
Yeah.
It was like weekend.
That's right.
Of 2014,
I couldn't remember exactly when.
Like, there wasn't an announcement before they gave out cards.
Right.
Krillin was all the one MPs plus Godku.
Oh.
Yeah. Except for Frieza and Piccolo.
Yeah, those came later.
Right.
Oh, okay. So that's... Okay. I actually didn't know that. I didn't know the...
When that announcement started... Like, I don't think anyone even thought this was going to last as long as it did, and certainly not much longer.
I mean, it wasn't a certainty.
This could be fun for a few months.
We all thought, like, maybe a year. If we're lucky, we get more than two. And we got a little bit more than 2 years out of it.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the same, like, any of the things that, like, the thing that happened or anything else in between could have stuffed it. Like, it could have gotten picked up steam, and then they would have just stopped making sense due to popularity. They still could have pulled the licensing at any point, because, I mean, this stuff happens more than people would think.
Yeah.
Like, I would guess.
New card games do not fare well, generally.
Mm-hmm. No, not typically. I mean, the big thing that drove it was, you know, the license and the fact that it was a rehash of the classic, of the old DBZ game that we all knew and loved. That's what drove the game to the success that it had.
The passionate fan base
for this game is kind of weird.
And
in a good way.
And I mean,
the best possible.
And
this isn't the first time we've faced this exact situation.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll be back stronger than ever.
It's what, the first
and not with DBZ.
Time?
I say that honestly, that the DBZ community will persist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, we're
going to
keep playing some version of this game as long as we can.
I mean, up until like the announcement year, there were like retro DBZ tournaments.
They were still having retro old Z tournaments.
Yep.
And that game kind of died in a very sad, put it out of its misery circumstance, as opposed to this one. This still has a very active community.
And I want to get to that in a second, and we can talk about that in a little more detail, both kind of before and now. But like for the moment. For people who may not have been around originally, like, I kind of want to sum up sort of the history that's gotten us here in terms of this game, like, reinventing itself and, like, dying and coming back to life, just so people maybe get a little bit of perspective, because this is the weirdest time that it's died, for sure.
Sure, right.
Yeah.
And that, like, basically, when the original game came out, it had a run of
12 Z sets, I think.
Okay.
12 Z sets and
whatever.
4 GT.
About, like,
four
roughly
GT,
3 years,
GT.
I think, of content.
Yeah, there was about three and a half years.
From Z to GT, like, when it ended, right?
Yeah.
It was just, like, it was a smooth, like, a transition.
Well, that's the thing, is like they kind of attempted, like, sequentially, timeline-wise, the releases were like that. So they had run through the entire Dragon Ball Z series and Kid Buu would come out, and that was like a pretty high point. Like, that set was good.
Yeah.
The environment...
The player base was as big as it had ever been.
Yeah, that was like...
That was close to the peak for the game.
Mm-hmm. Is that, like, World 2003?
It was after that.
It was still growing at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the... Yeah, that would have been, like, the end of the year.
Yeah.
It would have been after Worlds, but
it came out in, like, November of 2003.
So it was, like, 3 months later. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that, like Phil said, that was probably the high water mark in terms of just player engagement.
Well, I know that was the biggest... I just remember that was the biggest Worlds. Right.
Yeah, the biggest tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ran out of DBZ content, and, you know, at the time, it seemed GT logical to, like, sure, why not?
Right.
And again, that's both because, you know, GT came after Dragon Ball Z in, like, the series chronology, and also
that's what
GT was kicking off in the same way that Super is now. Like, GT was coming onto television, like, Funimation was localizing the river, and it's like, all right, the show, you know, will drive people to the card game, and... You know, so on and so forth. They presumably would cycle off of each other and hopefully generate buzz for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But GT, when it came out, I think that enough things were just like... Things had changed enough in weird enough ways that it just
there was a lot of a little bumpier than like
people would have liked it to be.
Right, it definitely took off a chunk of the player base.
And GT wasn't as appealing as Dragon Ball Z.
Right, and GT as a property is garbage. Turn out
to be that good.
The first part is Dragon Ball GT, the content wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But then also, I think they had kind of...
You don't like Metal Rildo? You don't like Bon Para Para?
Super Saiyan 4. Shut up. What any of that is.
Good.
Yeah, good. You're better off.
I think they had kind of mixed, like, they were basically still, they were sort of stuck, right? Because the game as it existed was still, you know, popular and going strong, but the game mechanics, they changed pretty drastically going into GT, and that's not even necessarily a bad thing on its face. But
it was off-putting to a lot of people.
It was off-putting to a lot of players because it was such a change. And on top of that, they were kind of splitting the difference in a way that, like, weakened. So they had committed to an expanded tournament scene where you could use all the cards, including GT cards, and a focused tournament scene, which like was, you know, GT only blocks just going forward.
To appeal, they're trying to play it both ways there. They wanted to keep their old people but not alienate new people with their effectively new game.
Sure, and again, like, that approach isn't necessarily wrong on the face of it, but how it ended up working out was, I think, it seems to water down both formats. It was kind of to the detriment of both that neither one was really able to take off.
Right.
And
ultimately, it didn't bring anyone into the game. They split it into two formats, hoping that one of them would be more accessible, and just nobody really got into it that wasn't a player already. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really help.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of the case for the first game. And then GT had a couple of sets.
They had a plan that never came out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then...
So, what I'm trying to remember now, how long was it between Lost Episode Saga and the first set of Reezy?
That I couldn't tell you.
A year and a half?
I don't even think it was that long.
A year?
It might have been like 12. I bet it was 12 months or less. I doubt it was more than a full calendar year.
Reezy premiered at Gen Con.
It might have been 6 months.
In 2000, I want to say.
It was 2005 was the Reezy Invitational that we went to.
Well, that was only a few months after the last official GT Regional.
Yeah.
Which was like St. Louis or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
St. Louis and Minnesota were in 2005.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So Lost Episodes came out and just like 6 months later, not even.
Sure.
Is when.
And that's like that, all that part of the game is still like my personal memories of it are very fuzzy. Yeah. I was pretty much checked out completely.
Right.
Like the Dragon Ball GT scene by the time Lost Episodes had come out.
That's another thing that's very different about this situation is we were very burned out at that point after 16 sets of cards.
Right. Mm-hmm. It didn't die like at the peak of, you know, player interest.
So it was another good jumping off point.
Yeah, in fact, it died probably the death you would want a card game product like this to die of, you know, if you're into it, you never want to see it go away. But, I mean, it died a very expected, gradual, like, the player base is shrinking, people are losing interest.
Nobody was surprised.
The last two regionals were not very big.
Yeah, they had about 12, 15 people.
Yeah. Well, no, the last two GT regionals were like 60 people.
Yeah, I was talking about the Reezy regionals.
We'll get into Reezy in a second.
But then GT had run its course. The people were just sort of disengaged with the game in general. Like, even
diehards
like me were a little out of it.
GT Expanded was maybe my favorite environment of
the entire
game.
Depending on the set, I'd agree with you. There were definitely cool moments in the GT environment. And like I said, actually, in general, I pretty much liked the things they changed about GT.
Yeah, the game itself,
I like the way they tried to evolve it. It just was hard to make that mesh well with the game that had come before
it. If it had started that way, from day one, it would have been a lot more interesting. Well, I wish they'd kept more of those mechanics for Pan and Pan 2.
I think the focused worlds that year killed a lot of player interest, too, because there were a lot of controversies around it. It wasn't settled real well. And after that, I don't feel like the game ever really recovered.
Yeah, they introduced hit after hit after hit.
Yeah, and then they introduced Shadow Dragon, and honestly, people didn't even really learn all the new mechanics.
You threw five mechanics at people in one day.
Right, exactly. And people literally just didn't even bother.
It's kind of dumb. And again, Oceanus, Shenron, Starter Dex aren't really pushing people to the stories either.
Sure,
right.
Exactly. Yeah, those characters that they were dipping into, again, the content of GT isn't that strong. Like, none of these million different dragons are your beloved Dragon Ball Z cast of characters.
Yeah.
It says a lot that Super 17 was, the most iconic villain in the show's history, probably.
Sure.
Which was also, a five-episode arc or something.
Right. I didn't realize how short that was at the time.
What they could get out of it, for sure. But, yeah, those were all Norris factors. And then kind of on top of all of that, you had... This is all still Underscore Entertainment. Basically, the company that preceded Panini America.
Right.
Panini's existed even in America for a long time. Yeah. But
the game division of Panini
kind of was the tiny shreds of Score Entertainment folded up into them at one point.
And Panini bought Score Entertainment.
Yeah.
Donruss entirely.
Yep. But then the other thing to keep in mind there is in addition to all the kind of degradation of the game itself, Score was kind of rocky financially due to other decisions and presumably TBC and GT
the recession hit too, and TCG's general model failed. Like basically everything outside of the big three card games went away.
Yeah, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Pokemon were the only ones that held on.
Mm-hmm. Versus kind of straggled on for a while, and WoW came in, but neither one of them really did a ton.
Yeah, the card games as a hobby pretty much died shortly after GT did, a little bit before the recession probably, but
it was a nail in the coffin.
Trading card game is still just an outdated and stupid model.
I was going to say, kids our age, everyone who was playing card games got to a point where they couldn't really afford cards anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of them, because we were all just getting into college
high school students. Right.
So.
You don't have all that.
Income.
Your income isn't completely expendable on whatever the fuck you want anymore.
Right. Which I think is also part of the reason Panini was actually able to take off, because now those people are 25 or 30, and they actually have an income.
Settled
again.
In a little bit, right? They've got more stable jobs, they've got money coming in.
Yeah.
And they can afford to, I'm going to splurge and buy a bunch of cards every couple of months, because they're fun and I like them.
Yeah, GT fell on... Or Score fell on some dark times and kind of threw a last-ditch effort card game out there.
Yeah, and the goal... If they were going to keep a product on the market in the realm of Dragon Ball Z, I can't see any other way than, straight trying to reboot it at that point.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what Re-Z was, right?
Yeah, it was a brand new game.
But a reboot of, the property itself.
Yeah, starting the timeline from the beginning of the Dragon Ball Z series, and a complete overhaul in terms of, there were similarities between them. Like, it still had masteries and styles.
Stages, very analyzed life decks.
Yeah.
But the game played very differently.
They were in no way compatible.
Also, I remember when it was coming out, the community consensus was basically, I'm not getting into another Dragon Ball card game.
Sure.
And people didn't want to dump the money in.
Right. Again, that was after 16 sets of cards.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
cards are worthless, and we're not even going to wait. We're just going to immediately launch it.
Right, and that might have been, that might have been to its detriment. But again, we don't have the insight of, that could have still been another business decision, higher ups within Score saying, look, this has done well for us before, just put
out
a new thing. Go do it. Hopefully it'll get us some money, because goddamn.
No one's buying Dragon Booster.
Or Bible Games.
And Inuyasha wasn't doing great either.
Yeah, Inuyasha was on its tail end.
And Yu Yu Hakusho
was long dead.
Mm. Yeah, that died. Yeah.
Bleach wasn't out yet,
shortly after DBZ, if at all.
Although I'm pretty sure Yu Hakusho, I'm pretty sure that game ran the course that they expected it to.
It was eight or nine sets.
They got through the series chronology.
It was six sets.
Yeah.
Six sets.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Like, maybe if it had been doing, like, crazy gangbusters, they would have found ways to just churn through that block of 100-something episodes or whatever. And
I guess Yu Yu Hakusho is actually pretty short.
Yeah, it is.
Compared to most of the other, if you're, like, Inuyasha and Bleach and
Inuyasha
stuff like that.
Inuyasha is eternal.
That just go on forever.
There's still...
Yeah, as far as shonen series go,
Yu Yu Hakusho
is
short.
Pretty brief, all things considered.
That's the nature of that writer, though.
Except for Hunter Cross Hunter.
Well, yeah, that's never happened.
He's still on hiatus for that.
Well, yeah, but it's
the same reason.
Yeah.
Reezy struggled on for three sets, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, there were ideas in that game that I didn't hate, but like you
there
guys said...
There were some strong issues with it.
I think the saturation was just too high on players at that point.
Even,
people were just kind of burned
aside
out.
From the game, DBZ as a cultural thing had sort of died off.
It was on its way.
It had run its course on TV, and that was it.
And this is in fact before, like, because it has kind of had a resurgence that probably started taking place a little before this game came out.
Right around the time the Frieza movie came out.
Yeah, exactly. Once they started saying, "All right, we're going to go back to," because there was a gap there, and I'm going to say the mid 2000s and like early 2010s where it was like. It just wasn't in the zeitgeist in any way. Yeah. They weren't doing, like, the annualized or semi-annual video games. There wasn't a movie every once in a while. It was just kind of... I mean, it existed.
It was left for dead.
It had been a very popular anime series that probably played a pretty big role in introducing a lot of kids to anime in the U.S.
Yes, definitely.
And, like, any good
like that
property, you don't leave
90s.
It on the floor.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
There's more money to be squeezed out of it.
But, yeah, that was definitely the low point, I would think, for DBZ awareness. And
for the community, it was just, like... 30 or so diehards that just wouldn't give it up. They either kept playing it or kept designing cards like from the retro people like Josh Main and Garrett.
Reezy literally had like 150 total players.
Across the country. Supporting that game for the sets that it had.
There were almost no tournaments with more than like 20 or 30 people.
Yeah, I think
Michigan Regional was at about 40 or 45.
With 40,
And that was bigger than Worlds, wasn't it?
Worlds was about 35.
Yeah, it was 30-something.
So, to be fair, there's a pretty big player saturation in general in Michigan.
Well, yeah.
That's true. We brought like 20 players alone from Michigan.
Yep.
So,
we've been doing this a while.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I wasn't like totally upset or sad when it died,
did. Yeah, and Breezy product, nobody gave it. Like, when that game died, everyone just shrugged.
The most expensive card was a $10.
Paid off as a $10 card at its highest.
Sure.
I sold those Jax promos for a decent amount. Those did pretty well.
Yeah, some of those were worth like 30 or something like that.
I was selling the Broly's for 50.
Jesus.
Nice. Yeah. But yeah, if you're talking about volatility in card prices, those Reezy cards, as far as
worth
I know,
nothing.
Pretty much all completely worthless.
I mean, people were literally throwing packs away when they got them because there was no chance to get anything.
Well, the game was alive.
Yeah, I should show you some. I'd have to dig through some stuff to find them, but I'm almost positive that there are at least two or three of those little sealed 12 booster boxes of probably set 2 or set 3.
You have a sealed box.
In my parents' basement somewhere. Yeah. Like, I'm almost positive that I have some of those.
I have a sealed box of either Arrival or Transformation.
Where'd you get that?
I've had it since the game died.
Yes. gave us some of the product at that tournament
I
just never opened it. I was I don't know what I need to do with these.
It's not worth the effort to put it into my muscles.
It's funny. It's funny. That's like, that was like at the end of Inuyasha, like the last East Coast Championship that I went to. Like, they gave product for Top Cut, and it was like, they were like, here, take like, Garrett literally handed me like almost like a case.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this is the last set. It was every card in the set was foil.
Yeah, they went all out on that last set at Inuyasha.
Yeah,
that's cool, though.
Because they knew it was the last set at the time.
Yeah, so they
were hoping we would get that in this iteration of DBZ.
But I guess it was a little like...
It wasn't as known. Because Inuyasha was... That was the end of this show, as it were, in America at the time. So they were like...
I mean, that show didn't get an actual, like, finish.
No.
Yeah, that was not until
years
recently.
Later. Yeah, that was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago.
That was also like the informal end of Score Entertainment.
Right.
Yeah.
Panini
was leading in at the time.
Panini came in, bought Score, and canceled the games department. Basically,
right. Yeah.
There were no games after that. Everything was shelved.
Inuyasha was dead, but
Inuyasha
was
dead.
Running.
Bleach was their only game.
Bleach was the only game. Yeah, that they still had and were attempting to support when that all went down.
Right. Which I mean, after Inuyasha, I was done with card games.
And I think a lot of us. So it's just a good time to say. Yeah.
And I had played near Inuyasha for, like, I probably missed the last half of that game. Like, I had been out of that game for a little bit, too. But I do want to give shout-outs to Inuyasha for still being kind of aesthetically amazing. There were cool ideas
it was
in that
a
game.
Unique
but,
game.
Yeah, yeah, like, I liked playing it, but the way those cards looked, I feel like, was ahead of their time. just in terms of like visual design for a card game. Oh, yeah. I feel like someone really thought about making them look like very like
they felt like they came from the show.
Yeah, yeah. Very low key, really, like very low key trading cards, but you could still play a game with them.
Yeah, right. You've got like a sheet or two.
Yeah, they were like upstairs. They were like beautiful and simple in a way that was very, almost Apple product like.
I know for a fact they made a lot of money just selling that to collectors that didn't play the game too.
Right. That was where the money was, and that's why they could justify running tournaments.
Right,
it was because of the volume of collectors because people love NES.
That's probably also why they foiled out that last set, like make it even.
The last couple sets in Yasha, I think, are much uglier than the first couple, actually.
Ironically,
I mean, like...
I know what you're saying, though.
I'm glad
look up some of the first, like, some of the first or second, the very early Inuyasha cards, and just look at the templates, and there's, like, they just have the beautiful little, like, hexagons that represent the text.
I still have my Inuyasha deck. Yeah. I can take some pictures.
I have a bunch of Inuyasha cards just kicking around in the closet demons. Somewhere.
Villagers,
People underrated the lower tier decks in that game. They were super good.
Most of the time they were.
We bought like a case of Inuyasha. I bought a case, $50.
It was like $30 or $40
and just opened it for fun.
It was fun.
And I pulled two autographs out of it and was able to make the money back.
Nice.
So, yeah. Nice.
That's pretty cool.
One of the cool things about those old card game booths at Gen Con, like you can find like if they've got them still, stuff. Like they've just
only
got
overpowered
Panini Dragon Ball Z cards.
The web market of availability kind of killed a lot of old games like that.
You know,
the niche cultures that like those games went and bought them all.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah.
Right. Like so unless something was wildly overprinted,
one or two
playgroups
decided like, all right, we want a quarter of the market on this. And keep being immersed in it. So
you're not going to go to a store and find a cool old dead card game most of the time.
We'll buy all the sealed product that we can get our hands on.
Unless it's set three of Overpower,
right? Or things like certain sets of Versus,
right?
Wow, games that were popular for their time.
Sure.
Set one of MLB Showdown.
Even that's don't see anymore.
Yeah, that one.
You find
no
starter
longer.
Decks,
right? Man.
Mm-hmm. We might be talking about Panini Z this way in a couple years.
Yep.
That's true. But anyway, so that all happened, and the thing that we're ultimately coming back around to there is it felt very natural for that version of DBZ to end. Like, it felt like a nice...
It was its time.
Book was closed, conclusion.
The
like,
final major mega tournament had 17 players.
Right? So that it was very much...
High.
It completed the arc of, all right, this game in all its forms up till now had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, like, you know, now we're done, at the very least, for a bit. And that's when Bandai made a game, which I didn't give a shit about.
It was garbage.
I want to say the vast majority of people who played that original game last
year. I probably have not seen any cards from that either.
It's the Naruto card game, if you ever saw any of those. Like, it's the exact same
engine.
Maybe,
I don't know.
With Dragon Ball Z characters.
Rags-coded shit cards.
I told the story to Wade the other day.
Those are bad-looking cards.
Yeah. Doug played in the national tournament for that game the 1 year it existed.
He didn't even have to play.
He made top four by entering and sold his
foil sets or something.
Yeah, foil sets and sweat. And just sold them on the spot back to Matt Lowe, and so there were, that's how popular that game was.
Cool,
not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why people think this might go the same way.
Bandai's never made a good game,
right? So the funny thing there is basically Bandai taking that license and taking over a version of a Dragon Ball Z card game is the thing that happened last time, and that is happening again. But the big difference being, like we kind of like we just said. Then it didn't feel like much of a loss. Like, the game had kind of felt like it
run towards... We'd already gone our separate
ways. Yeah, and that was that.
Parted ways as friends, you're like...
Yeah, all right, I'll write sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah, things felt finished.
We email occasionally, it's fine.
Things felt finished, and the fact that Bandai just happened to be taking over was kind of an aside. Like, okay, that's going on, but that's not really what feels like ended the game.
It didn't matter.
This time, it's definitely, like...
Different.
Yeah,
there were some legs left.
Is either close to or at its peak. You know, right now.
Right, yeah.
And being shot down like that in this
sucks.
Way
with a bit of a gut punch.
For all this stupid business crap.
The
that's the part
punch?
That hurts the
I
most.
I was going to make that joke. Yeah, that's. People will always wonder now, like, what could have been. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, the thing that I had said even before any of this was a rumor, like before the Bandai Super game got announced, I had said, like, I bet for certain, like, 2017 will be a solid full tournament year. And then from then, who knows? And I think that would have happened at the very least.
Like, we would have had a full tournament season.
I think this coming tournament season would have been pretty robust and still pretty well attended. And then, who knows after that?
Even if you were pessimistic about it, it might have been like 10% less players at tournaments than last year. Mm-hmm. It's not like it would have been a low year.
It still would have been a successful year.
Right.
It would have been a good year.
You still would have had over 200 people at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would have still been good.
But. I mean, because like with the other game, though, like we were reaching the end of the series. Like, there was maybe two, like, actual, like, story, aside from, like, the movie sets they've been doing, like, mm-hmm. story sets to do
yeah.
with, like, World Tournament or whatever, and then Boo.
We're never going to get a Majin Boo.
Nope.
No Majin Gia. Yeah,
it would have probably been World Tournament, and then another movie set, sure. and then a Majin
something
saga, and then, like, a Fusion saga, and then another movie set, and then Kid Buu saga. Yeah. So there was, like, five or six sets left or whatever.
Mm-hmm. There was easily... They could have easily made it. 2 years...
Yeah, if they wanted
two more to get years,
the, yeah. it probably would have been about 2 years of content because yeah. they only released 3 a year.
Yeah, so it would have been two more years of content,
and then the plan for them was to then do Super.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
which I mean,
or do Super instead of some yeah. of those sagas.
Sure,
but I mean, even still, they could have if they did the 2 years and then Super, it could have gotten another three or four depending years. On the pace of the sure. anime. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, that's a longer life than anyone could have asked for.
Yeah. But it's like
in some way, a superset probably would have given some new life to it with the show just coming out now. Like mm-hmm. people are maybe like interest in DBZ has gone up since those two movies were released or whatever.
Yeah,
and right. that's again that's
Xenoverse
the thing.
Games are doing okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm. People I think so.
Well, those games are doing really, really good. Well.
I don't yeah. know how the second one did, but I'm assuming it did fine.
Yeah. There's still used versions of that game selling for those games for like 55.
Okay, wow. There you go.
That's crazy.
That tells yeah. you how well they're doing.
Yeah, right. they're up there. They're hard to find.
All right, cool. Huh. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So
if
that's indicative of anything, that just means that Dragon Ball Z has
it's
a lot of legs.
Yeah, that's sure. true. Also, the property is not going to go away.
Explains why Bandai wanted to yeah. make it so badly.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah. That's the other thing that I was just about to segue into is as much as we all don't like it, because I'm going to go out. I'm going to say with a certainty the game we have. For all of its flaws, is better than whatever the Bandai games
can almost sure. guarantee. Yeah.
Like, it's
from
just...
From a pure design
yeah,
perspective.
Yeah, the people who are making yeah. it care about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Cared about it.
No.
Sorry.
They still probably
No, I mean, they still
it.
Do, but, you know, yeah. like, the right, situation right. has changed. Yeah. But, I mean, the Bandai yeah. thing is just a port over of some shitty
Japanese game
that no one cared
yeah.
about in the first place.
Right.
So.
Some cookie-cutter bullshit that,
yeah.
that never did well.
Again, another riff on kind of a pre-existing product with Dragon Ball shit slapped over it.
Right, yeah. exactly.
Copy and paste.
But it makes 110% business sense to
yeah.
me why mm-hmm. they would
yep.
make the shift and make that the thing. Because like I said, it's the same as going back to the kind of the GT push of the new series is coming out. As of the time we recorded this, Super aired, I think, its first US
yeah,
episode,
like
localized
like,
episode
yeah,
yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
It
was last
yeah,
night.
I think last night was the first
yeah.
time on TV.
Yeah.
Saturday the 7th
yeah.
Yeah, of
yeah.
January is when Super began airing in the US. So they're going to do their whole push. Like, it's going to be
right.
Dragon Ball's back. It's a big thing. You get your kids to watch it. You can watch it with your kids because you're a grown-up and you watch Dragon Ball Z, so you want to share this with them.
Play the card game with your kids.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've got this product that exactly, like, it's the content from the... You know, the thing you're watching now, it's Dragon Ball Super. Like, one hopefully will beget the other in terms of dollars and cents business-wise. Like,
yep.
mm-hmm. they want people to buy the cards because they like the show and watch the show more if they see that the card game exists. So, like, synergistically, like, yeah, sure, why wouldn't you do that?
And Dustin, like you said earlier, it almost doesn't even matter whether the game is good or not. Like,
nope.
People
that was never a concern.
Just because it's got
especially
the right
from Bandai's perspective, mm-hmm. you know, none of their games are designed to be major card games. They're just designed to crank out four sets, make some money, and get
yeah.
out.
And the other, right. like, taking that even a step further, not only does it not matter if it's very good, it might actually not matter if it doesn't come up to the par that this game had set in terms of sales, period. Because
right.
part of it is it exists to sell itself, and part of it is it exists to sell every other Dragon
right,
Ball
other,
Super thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's just a thing that goes onto the pile of selling Dragon Ball, the franchise,
enrich the brand,
you know, that might be
right.
good enough since it happens to sync up a little better than the card game we had, which was in the middle of the run of, you know, the original Dragon Ball Z series,
and
which people still love.
Presumably
but
wasn't
it's not
gonna
the
make
latest,
Bandai much money.
Yeah, it's
right,
not
yeah.
the latest, greatest, it's not the current Dragon Ball property mm. that they're trying to leverage and like.
And
really
hey man,
put out
it's
there.
Not Panini's fault. They didn't know Super was going to get announced. Like that came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it's just like, hey guys, more DBZ.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the other thing is like this game got revived between
before that
yeah, before
happens.
Super
yeah.
before Super existed.
Before even
yeah.
the movies started.
It was,
yeah,
I mean
yeah.
the movies were known. I think
or
it was
like
even out in
about
Japan.
The same time.
Well, yeah.
That's yeah,
what,
it
was
Battle of the Gods. Battle of the Gods is the one that brought it back because they
yeah.
that movie was coming out, and then they
had a
the God come from
right.
So it was like it was before the series was even in conception. It
sure.
was,
and then again, you know, same thing. Like that would almost certainly played a part in the revival of the game, is that mm-hmm. we could push sure. for more Dragon
yeah.
Ball.
Sure, it wouldn't have happened at all without
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, by all means.
Here's Dragon Ball Z stuff, so let's get more Dragon Ball Z into people's hands, period.
The story I hear is that Funimation went to Panini themselves and was like, hey, can you guys make that game again?
And sure. Right. And like I said, that's...
Panini responded with, we can make like a box game or something. And Funimation said, no, we want a collectible card game. To yeah. everyone's bewilderment.
Sure, like, as everybody scratched their heads.
Because at the time, there were no new card games. Card games were like a dead medium.
Yeah. yeah.
And now here we are. And Force of Will came out. And
yeah, right.
Final Fantasy's coming out.
Stuff's kind of like, rebounded a little.
Yeah, it's yeah. really weird times.
For sure.
Time is cyclical.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's the thing. And again, that's the same, like, from Bandai's perspective, it makes sense to do this weird reboot. From Funimation's perspective, it still does. Because right. they, ultimately, they want to sell Blu-rays and DVDs and website subscriptions.
Yep, sure.
And
yeah.
that involves Action pushing figures. The thing that they're putting out now, and the thing that they're putting out currently is Dragon Ball Super.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, all that business stuff totally lines up, and I get why it's going on, but it doesn't make me any happier about it, right. necessarily.
It's good to keep it all in
it's good
perspective.
Times, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah,
we knew we weren't going to do this forever.
Sure,
yeah.
I'm glad that it got to come back.
Yeah, we got yeah. two
it's
really
kind
good years
of insane that it came back. Yeah, like, we got to like, do this all again.
It's like I said in the post, like I never got to experience it
right,
back in the
time.
Day.
It was exactly like this.
Right. I'm glad yeah. that you did.
And now
yeah.
I got to see it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, certainly, most of the player base was the old guard, but there are handfuls of people, include like you included, and others that I can think off in my head that were new players, like
or even just you know. Barely scratched the old game, mm-hmm. maybe had a few packs of starter deck,
right.
but were able to really
right.
get into
like
it.
Somebody's
this time.
Younger sibling, that,
yeah.
you know, they were maybe a little young to
show up to the tournaments but didn't play.
Be into it at the time, but.
From like a market perspective, I'd never seen anything like this where a card game came back. From
no, this
sure,
has never happened.
Multi-year
it was
hiatus.
A pipe mm-hmm. dream for the like, community. Like,
yeah.
This is kind of
crazy.
Yeah, and people would talk about this, and you would scoff at them because
yeah, or
they sounded like
or you'd say it in joking in passing.
Right.
Like that'll never happen.
Yeah. It is pretty unprecedented. Like you said, I can't think of a single other instance where a kind of niche like
sure
stock card game product or just like some other relatively low key. Relatively low key gaming product. Like, had a weird resurgence like this. Because games come out, like proprietary games like this, they come out and they run their course and they die. It's,
yep.
like, crazy
yeah.
thing to imagine that this was resurrected
at all.
Don't
come back.
Yeah, exactly.
But they also don't usually have, like, a community that keeps playing it after they die. So.
Yeah, a community with the amount of love that the Dragon Ball Z community had. Because, mm-hmm. like, I mean, there are still players to this day that play Buffy. Just like, you know, to make it like relatively.
I knew
know,
we were forgetting a base score.
Because, you know, Buffy, there are still people that play that game. But
uh-huh.
that game, but those people are like, there are like 10 of them in the entire world. Dragon Ball Z,
right.
there were like, you know, the handful of people that were still playing retro. And then there was everyone that loved the game that was still keeping an eye on what was going on
right, yeah.
and commenting and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So probably more like in the hundreds.
Yeah, I was going to guess a couple hundred people probably
so,
followed it casually at the very least.
And
right.
I mean, like, if you even, like, you know, shooting it out of nowhere, a few hundred people buy a case or even, like, three, four
that was
boxes.
Probably Panini's, like, optimistic, you know, maybe 1,000 people buy products.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's
I know
still enough to turn
about how well the game did.
Yeah, yeah, that's enough to like, you know, make it somewhat profitable, I'm sure.
Right.
And not to mention the extent of, you know, literally having to do 4 print runs of the first set.
Mm.
It, like that's
yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
I remember those days.
Sure.
Like and everyone that was like, you know, that's like upset with the way that the game went. It's not like Panini wanted to cancel it.
Right.
Yeah.
It had always been profitable. They did 4 fucking print runs of set 1, as I just
right.
said. It was always profitable. They were always making money off of it, but...
And I don't think they wanted this to happen.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
This
wasn't in their game plan.
Yeah, and the radio silence, I'm sure, wasn't because they were like, oh, well, we're building up to this. It was probably because they were fighting to the bitter end to keep
yeah.
it alive,
just
to make the
they
money.
They didn't have mm-hmm. any other options.
Yeah,
or wouldn't even say. Like, there's weird legal stuff with that.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
From what little I know, and it's definitely not the whole story, but I am pretty confident, also, like, that what Brian said is true, that there wasn't some, like, in the kind of couple weeks that
there's
we had
no
hovering here where the fate was uncertain. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't some, like, cynical, like, oh, we'll get people to buy as much product as we can
his cubicle
before
his hands,
we drop
like,
the
all
right,
right.
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Crank the last couple of bucks out of this.
Yeah, there are legal and business reasons mm-hmm. why things went the way that they did at the very end, you know, with the blisters, like, mm-hmm. people complaining about that. That was because, you know, they made an agreement with that vendor, mm-hmm. and they have to live up to that agreement one way or another, and they pushed it out before they lost the rights. So.
Yeah, exactly. Those products take, they don't take zero time, but they take more than, like, days or weeks, mm-hmm. even, probably. So, like, that stuff was
there's a lot of dumb hoops to leap through.
Yeah, they have to live up to every agreement that they make mm-hmm. within, you know, like, within reason. And I'm sure that's a big point, a big part of why everything was the way it was with the blue lifting drill blisters and right.
the smoothness drill blisters.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even consider that really like, but it's a casualty. Like, it's just something that happened.
No, yeah. but there were people
signs
that were
trying to
about
grow
it.
Right.
Yeah.
at that
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it just didn't happen to not work for other reasons.
Like, yeah. The timing on this is actually pretty good. At least it didn't happen in the summer or in the middle of a tournament season or anything.
Sure.
We got a full season out of it, and then it, you know, it gracefully died
in between
in January.
Sure.
We didn't even get to announce the next set. Nobody made travel plans. Nobody went anywhere. Nobody bought set 9 or set 8.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I'll take that also. Into, like that's definitely a small but notable positive.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing there is, again, knowing what, basically watching the history of this game and how it came out, if you watched each of the Panini sets as they were released, we can glean a little bit from what their licensing deals probably were like,
mm-hmm.
Which would involve stuff like, it looked from the outside like they were probably licensing stuff like one block of episodes at a time
right.
on a release-by-release basis. Because
mm-hmm.
it was like, was it set 2 or 3 where, you know, they were all set up to do previews, but then it got delayed a week or two just because they couldn't get that final clearance
right.
for the licensing stuff.
Yeah, they clearly
so, you
didn't
know,
have it all along.
That all checks out in terms of a, like, they're literally going to the last minute seeing if they can make this deal work out.
Fly by night.
It didn't work out.
Yeah, right. it seems like it was very fly by night, and they were taking it as it came. And not, like, you know, set in stone, like, you know,
we
planned
have
out.
6 licenses set up that'll all, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not a big company. Like, the games division is
right.
not big.
The games division
about 4
like,
people
large.
Yeah. As far as people on, like, probably fully employed by Panini, it's probably between 2 and 4 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that it, like, I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sure, they've got, like, the bigger company, like,
they have some resources.
Helping them, and yeah, they have the
right.
resources,
mm-hmm.
but
even then, Panini would cost an enormous. Like it's
not like
an ExxonMobil
or
General Electric. It's not.
Sure, yeah. I've been to that office. It's a glorified apartment,
or even like a Hasbro.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, yeah, Hasbro is a large toy conglomerate.
Yeah, so Panini doesn't have the leverage that Hasbro does.
And they didn't even
initially hold the core rights to do anything with it.
Yeah, in mm-hmm. this case, they probably didn't have. Would you would presume they didn't have any leverage? And even if they did,
right?
Considering that this game is Panini is not that large, and the game is a very small subset of Panini's business.
Right.
So, like,
right,
would they even? Would the people who? Who hold the checkbooks and do the business stuff even go out on a limb to defend this weird little niche side project essentially
right.
within the company?
I'm sure to an extent that they probably did, but like to the limit of. Are you sure you don't want to run this side by side?
Yeah, and they're I very much doubt that was the case. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine there wasn't much of a conversation.
Yeah, it was probably Hasbro just going.
Yeah.
We're pulling this.
We really don't want you to do this.
Yeah. Well, they probably got it through Funimation. We're done.
Yeah,
but I would assume it was either you can't do this because we're changing direction, or maybe just maybe like if you ponied up X, if you really went over the top.
Right,
like maybe we'd still allow you to do this, and we'll never know for sure.
A lot more expensive than it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like the price just doubled. Deal with that.
Right.
And we'll never know for sure. But the point being, as much as we care about the game, as much as I know that the people actively working on the game itself care about it, the business guys are just looking at spreadsheets
numbers.
And being like, "All right, how shitty is this going to look if I spend a whole bunch of money to make this weird thing keep happening?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Even if that is an option, then you know." Maybe not.
Especially if you consider that it was like an experiment for their games division.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to see if they could make a game.
Sure.
And I think their answer internally is, we made it.
Uh-huh.
So now they're moving on to DC,
other
whatever,
stuff.
And
yeah.
Afterworld, which is already dead. We'll see.
Still on store shelves somewhere, probably.
Maybe.
I think.
Warehouse shops.
Yeah.
I
gotta think they didn't get much of a print run on that one.
Mm.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, it seems like it was a short run, deliberately.
Being shipped to Australia to rebuild coral reefs. All right, dump it here.
Tie a rock to it.
So anyway, there's that.
I hope that their Superman or DC thing does well. And
me too.
I can't wait to see what it
fills
is.
Fills the void here, yeah.
If it's a brand new take on, you know, a card game from them, I'll be interested to see what it is. If it's very DBZ-like, I'll be interested to see how that pans out. So, I mean, I'll give that a listen. Like, I'll eyeball it when it comes out and see how that seems to be shaping up.
Even if they made a new game with, like, almost identical mechanics to DBZ, I'm sure most of us here would play it.
I'd probably
get a few Saturday.
I'd buy some of set one of that for certain, and then, you know, we can say from there.
Well, but I mean, like, fucking, what was it called? Epic Battles.
Epic Battles,
yeah. Epic Battles was not exactly like DBZ, but it wasn't far off.
I enjoyed that game.
And I loved that game.
Well, most people enjoyed that game.
The business model for that game was terrible.
That game was also buried by business.
I was
business.
About to say that was one of the only good contract score ever had.
It's true.
They made their money back without having to invest anything in it.
Well, I mean,
but the game itself suffered.
It was right, but
the game suffered.
For
say, yeah, it was, in the sense that they didn't lose money on it, that totally makes sense, but they also basically kneecapped its complete ability to grow by having it only sold in single booster pack form at Blockbuster Video Store.
It was the ultimate short.
The Street Fighter expansion, you could only get it for buying the $4 booster packs at Blockbuster Video of all places.
Yeah.
So that was the only way to get those.
But the rumor is that contract got them like $1 million.
Right, they made money.
And then it didn't even matter what happened to the game after that. Score was just like, well, that was a good, you know.
That's really interesting. I didn't know necessarily that it was that much money.
Uh-huh.
But that's a much weirder, like, that's basically like in a video game sense, what you would think of like a publisher and developer relationship would be, where like Blockbuster gave them X number of dollars and said, make this thing, and then they did.
Sure.
That's really strange. Oh, man. I wonder what their back end was on that, like on the product itself, like how much they had to share that revenue or whatever. Again, another thing we'll never know and doesn't really matter, but it's kind of interesting.
Who's the head designer on that game?
I think Kunk made that game.
Kunk? Okay.
I thought it was Chippy.
I didn't think it was Chippy.
I feel like he maybe involved with it.
He might have been gone.
I'm sure somebody will
correct
us.
I thought it was Kunk.
But I'm pretty sure that was a Kunk project for the most part.
Well, I think I recall Chippy telling me about the game development drunk at Gen Con one time. Because he was drunk as shit.
We'll have to find out. Somebody will listen to this.
Yeah, just drunk filling it. Chippy drunk as shit.
Yeah, I definitely heard that they didn't regret that business decision.
Yeah.
They gave it to Blockbuster, and it worked out just fine, even though it led to the game dying and being pretty unpopular.
Well, that one most suffered real bad because they lost, like, the Street Fighter license, or UFS came in and kind of muscled in on their territory.
Yeah, exactly. And on top of all that, UFS was launching, like, basically around the exact same time, so there were two competing fighting game card products.
Crazy.
Like, in the exact same moment, pretty much. They came out within, like, weeks or months of each other,
And again, this is, like, right when, like, the card games as an industry was nosediving.
And there wasn't a new Street Fighter game on the horizon at the time. Sure. That was in the medium between Third Strike and Street Fighter 4.
Fighting games, even, as a medium, was really at a low point.
Yeah. In fact, like, that's a perfect segue, and it's a thing I was gonna maybe bring up anyway, but we might as well talk about it now. Like you guys said, in one form or another, I expect this community to persist.
Yeah,
people to be engaged at some level. But the thing that the DBZ card game community reminds me of most, relative to like other subcultures that I'm immersed in a little bit in the internet, is like the fighting game scene. Like, it's a tight knit, like, small, dedicated group of dudes who, you know, when fighting games are great, they're rocking fighting games. When fighting games are shitty, they're rocking fighting games. Like, there are people in there making shit happen, getting together, having fun, like, through the good and through the bad.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what DBC has felt like to me since that original game died.
We've done it before, and we'll do it again.
I completely agree with that.
That's very accurate.
If you want to take this opportunity to bail it, that's fine. Be my guest, but retro's not going anywhere.
Right,
a lot of us aren't going anywhere.
Exactly. And if you need to take a time out, like, if you just need to be distant from it, like, for a while, for sure, I get that. Like,
if you need a break,
we're here.
Yeah, if you need to quit, that's fine. If you need a break, that's fine. But if you decide to come back,
the community will be here.
We won't leave you hanging.
And we're gonna try to keep it in order.
Speaking of keeping things going, the time this is posted, it will already have had a written announcement, but as a bit of a summary, and just in case you didn't read it, Set 8 is still being released in some form. It's gonna obviously look a little bit different because mm-hmm. the logistics are totally different.
Yeah, it's going from a commercial product to a fan project.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. A group of people led by myself and Joey DiCarlo and some of the other designers are designing set 8 with the same design principles that Panini had. So the goal of it is to continue releases with the same schedule and with the same basic design principles that Panini had. So we want people to be able to continue playing with new cards and new content and not feel like if you jumped in, you could see where Panini stopped designing from, an individual card perspective.
Pick up the ball and keep running with it.
Right, exactly. So right now that's scheduled for mid to late February. We're still finalizing a date for it. So we're going to release some smaller sets every 4 months, which is Panini's release schedule. Witchy is working on the final frozen list for the game, which will include probably cards becoming frozen and currently frozen cards becoming unfrozen. All that's kind of up in the air.
Yeah,
but
we have no actual specifics about any of that.
Right, exactly. And a finalized CRD with whatever changes need to be made to keep the game in a balanced state.
Mm-hmm.
That was announced on
Panini's
blog.
Yeah, that was
blog.
In the mm-hmm. blog post mm-hmm. on
but
Friday.
That, right. That was a very TLDR blog, if people
sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The emotions read.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Clicked that
you
and
saw,
immediately
yeah, exactly. You saw that like, the game was over, and then, Alt F5.
I'm gonna go
right. Get me out.
Look over this ledge for a few minutes and think about something.
Yeah.
So cry with my collection of cards.
Exactly. Richie, in an official capacity, will still be doing those updates. I don't know what his involvement will be with design of the game going forward. I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
Richie, I think, will be, come out and talk about it himself sometime. That's pretty much it for now. But
sure. But stay tuned.
Right.
Yeah.
There will be more to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the, as sad as this all is, like, that actually,
that's probably the best case scenario.
Yeah, no, and it actually opens up opportunities in some really weird ways. Because, like, let's break that down a little bit from the different ways that that is beneficial, even though there's a lot to be sad about here. The first one is, in my mind at least, the fact that it's the audience that the game needs to target has shifted dramatically now.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're making a thing for people who are already in. Like,
right. We're not trying to get anybody.
We don't need to assume that you don't know how the mechanics work or that like you need introductions. Like, this is going to be the set that teaches you how to play the game. Like, if you find this, you're in.
Yeah.
So that gives room for innovating on mechanics and just making sets of cards that are a little tighter. Like, we don't need
right.
a physical attack that does 2 life cards of damage.
You no longer need to pad out sets. You can just put in the cards that matter.
Chop out a lot of the filler. And then the second thing there, which is the thing that people are probably, one of the things that people are hurting most about now, but which I find very tantalizing because it's a thing that an actively living card game can't have, is that now that the economy of the game itself is actually dead, and the player base has to be more attentive, it opens up the door to like really actively shift stuff and like throw stuff at the wall and see if it works. Like,
it becomes more like a modern video game that you can just patch whenever you feel
exactly,
like it.
Absolutely. I
within
do
reason.
There's
yeah,
no,
way
like,
more like
print runs. You don't have to worry about like a typo on a card or if you need to tweak something on the fly.
You don't need to worry about
edit a field,
kneecapping ultra rares to like damage their value if they happen to be like seriously detrimental to the game.
And one of the things that we're planning on doing, along with allowing people to use proxies of any card that's ever been released, we're going to be releasing updated images of cards that have been changed with modern text so that people who do get into the game will have more accurate images than what you'd pull out of card packs. So that's really cool.
Text that follows exactly as it should.
Unleashed will say banish after use at the bottom.
It helps that you can do that and use the original images, and it makes it more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
That the new players won't be like, but has an experienced player telling them, oh, that's banish after use.
Or even if a player takes a few months off and then comes back after they feel like they've had enough time to collect themselves, they'll be able to look at the cards and know what they do.
I mean, it wouldn't be outside the realm of reason to put together like a spreadsheet with a printable CRD with image-based CRD.
For sure.
With an updated image. I mean, just spitballing.
The point being that it sucks, but it's not complete, like, desolation and gloom and doom. Like, I'm pretty sure if all of us had the choice, we would still have a living, actively supporting official version of the game. But we can make something happen that's not that. Like, I'm assuming people will end up playing it less, just in general.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I mean, that's inevitable.
It won't be to have the same level of, you know, support, like, in any official capacity, obviously.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something to be said for, like, a product that goes out there and that can grow the player base, which I, like, I love for totally different reasons. Like, I liked it when this game seemed like it was capable of attracting new people into the fold.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, now this will be our DBZ recession, let's say. And, you know, someday there may be a new official game that, like, kind of picks up the mantle from this one. Maybe,
Who knows? In the most wildest dream, there's a chance that the Bandai game flops and Panini can pick it back up where they left off.
I doubt that.
I highly doubt it.
I'm not.
That's why I said wildest dream.
But even if it does,
our wildest DBZ dreams have come true before.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey, that's it.
8 years from now.
I mean, that's how I ended my little blog post. It's like,
see y'all.
What can I say? It's happened before.
Sure. Yeah,
but
exactly.
I mean, the point being,
it almost doesn't even matter
if you have if you have this game in your blood, right, like we do. If you want to keep being engaged with some version of it, we can make that happen.
Buried into the game.
And I'm looking forward to that kind of stuff. And like I said, there's a cool, unique level of flexibility. Mm-hmm. That going from a
you can change some of the stupidest cards without too much blowback. Mm-hmm. Like
from
Goku 3
an official retail product to a fan project gives you, like, you get a little more leeway in ways that are kind of neat.
You can also pick really good card images,
and if it doesn't work, you can change it back real fast.
Yeah, exactly, and you can experiment. Like,
even from a crowd response perspective, if you make a change and it's unpopular it's unpopular enough to. To hurt the people, like the player base, then you can reverse it,
right.
Or make a more acceptable change. Never when there's a change is everyone going to be happy. It's plain and simple, which is
some people still think like Namek 7 was balanced.
Some idiots.
Our goal is going to be to keep as many people as possible happy about the cards that we release. I think having the designers. From the game, the actual game, be in charge of continuing to create cards is the best way the community could possibly have that happen.
It needs that, too, because I've already seen a lot of stuff, like, I'm going to make my own set now, we're going to have community cards, and it
could splinter into 10 different games.
It's splinters, it's unfocused, and we really just kind of need one focused thing for everyone here.
The ideal, for sure, would be to keep things as centralized as possible.
And simple.
And I think someone, I don't remember who exactly said it, but the fact that the actual designers are backing one of these different factions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
bring some kind of buyer confidence, if you will.
Another thing about like all these other people that are doing it, no offense to anyone in particular. I don't know any names of people that have been posting cards that they plan on making or have, created.
Mm-hmm.
I give you props for your card art and everything like that. But a lot of you guys really fucking suck with seriously, like the way that you word cards,
they don't have the same syntax of like.
It's terrible. Sure. Uh-huh. It's god awful. Like I look at it and I go, what the fuck? That's barely even a sentence.
Ryan, I'm gonna be
PC
like
right there.
Right, I'm gonna be like your reverse Obama anger translator and like translate that into a more diplomatic.
Sure,
that's what I was gonna do. Too.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Which is that like. I understand like the urge for people to go out and just kind of make cards because at this point, whatever. But the thing that gives me enthusiasm about the future, from like Phil said, people who either have a very deep like legacy of engagement with the game being involved in it and the design team that made the Panini game, is that ultimately they can look at it as a holistic product. Like, quote-unquote, in, like, a holistic environment, whereas people who are kind of out there, like, on the fringes, more just like, I'm just gonna make good Gohan level 4, because I really want one, and, like, I like sword cards, let's make 10 of those, because fuck it. Like, that stuff is fun, but it's not fun in the context of trying to make a cohesive game, like, field to have cards interact with.
We can't all make ultra rares.
Everything can't be an ultra rare all the time.
So, like, having
when
people
you do
who,
make one, it sometimes doesn't work out.
Having people who are conscious of building an environment and not just making individual cards is the linchpin to making things playable going forward.
At the end of the day, the people who are going to be making it are people who are literally professionals that have done it already, and that's important to the future of the game compared to you know, people who might not have much design experience mm-hmm. or might not be looking at a cohesive long-term plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and...
And even then, it's impossible just to design one card at a time or even a couple cards at a time for an environment. It does need to be this
Yeah, you have to have a vision for, if you're going to issue new stuff, you know...
Design a set.
Yeah.
Right, and sometimes multiple sets that have...
Right.
You know, vision extends beyond one set, even.
Sure.
So. Yeah, and I mean, the big point I was trying to get at is that, like, as it, like Phil and Dustin were saying, correcting my lewd, angry words, it's syntax. I mean, you know, there's a fairly consistent wording to most cards
and let's
in
face
the game.
It, this game is really complicated. And sometimes you make an effect and it doesn't really work the way you thought it mm-hmm. would because of how it's worded.
Yeah.
And
I mean...
Or even because there's an interaction you didn't quite think of.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Nobody sets cards.
It's like Vegeta's level 1 and 3. It's
right.
like, you know,
right, exactly.
it interacts with some things but not others, and that's a syntax fault there
mm-hmm.
because of lack of consistency.
It's not easy.
And but it's like,
and one thing,
adding unexperienced hands only
and having a couple of people to look at it all from different angles and peer review it, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just one person mm-hmm. just doing something and it ends up being worded in such a way that either makes it completely mm-hmm. broken or it doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. As an extension of the peer review comment Kyle just made and the example Brian just used, one of the pros of this just for the game going forward is, like, if we released images of Vegeta 1 and 3 and everyone pointed out that it doesn't function, we don't already have those cards out to print. We can
right,
just
yeah,
print
exactly.
something else.
Yeah, the beauty of something that's lighter weight, that's a fan project, that doesn't, yeah, exactly, that doesn't conform to print schedules and, like, licensing issues and stuff like that. Yeah. All right, we'll change it.
And the other thing right, I was exactly. going to say when you had mentioned how you can just tweak stuff, like, you're not, like, devaluing, like, physical cards that people have
right,
spent
exactly.
money on
it
and
doesn't
bought,
affect the economy.
Like,
Unleashed getting changed is not going to make people mad that they bought set 6 product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Like, that stuff's all cool. Like, they're little bonuses to... They soften the blow mm-hmm. a little bit. Like,
right, exactly.
that stuff is stuff to be excited about, even if necessarily the holistic picture is not the one we all wanted to look at.
Uh-huh.
Right. Theoretically, it's possible the game will have better balance than it's ever had going
right.
forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the community will stay engaged to some extent. We're not going to have 240-person Gen Con tournaments. But I'm pretty confident we can have attendance higher than it was after Old Z died.
For sure.
Like, we
I
can
think
have
so.
More than 30
especially
or 40
Especially for this year.
For sure. Especially this year.
Like those retro DBZs were hitting 50, so I bet
yeah.
we can top that.
And I mean,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
especially now, like, the retro community wasn't that, like, well-constructed,
yeah.
but that was because of the time of when it occurred. We didn't
right.
have, you know, a giant
right.
Facebook
right. That
group.
Was after a lot of us had already kind of...
Yeah, that was back
right.
when...
Because it wasn't as soon as the game died.
Yeah,
it
no.
was years later.
And,
yeah.
and I mean, like, that was when, you know, people were discussing the game through top-tier fanatics.
Right.
Even the
right.
retro site.
Splintered sites.
You know, there wasn't the focus at the retro group. So
yeah.
it's a little
yeah,
bit...
The retro group kind of came about because of
sure.
the reimagined version
yeah.
of the card game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it very much is that there's... better communication moving forward
mm-hmm.
now than there ever was
right.
before.
Right, exactly.
A bigger centralized community.
And so it'll be easier to
nobody's
going to
gonna go
into
your computer and unsub you from the Facebook group.
right.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing to touch on going forward in terms of, like, taking the game, like, basically continuing to support it in a way that is hopefully logical and enjoyable is if you want to make cards on your own just for your own benefit or to, like, revitalize your local play group. If you could keep, like,
yeah.
a tight, like, 6 to 8 dudes,
you play
who, like
house rules and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
you're making your own house rules,
yeah.
your own sets. Like, I would say, do it, go for it, and
have
fun. But the thing that we're hinting at here is that hopefully
there will be,
like,
organized.
Yeah, exactly.
Opening.
Like Phil
right.
said, it's
we're
not going to be
real tournaments.
It's not going to be what it was like when
oh,
it was
no.
official and Panini supported. But that there will be an official standard for larger scale events that
yes.
we can all conform to. That will be, like, hopefully, you know, a balanced, engaging environment where a couple times a year we can get people at larger events and hang out together and have fun like we always
right.
have.
And we've done these things before, not even with the retro tournaments, but before Panini OP, people were already out there making their own tournaments and
mm-hmm.
tournament circuits.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
People
yeah.
showed up for them.
Yeah, isn't that why Northkai exists?
Right. That was
yeah.
Northkai existed entirely because of that.
Yeah,
that's
I
the
mean,
perfect
this,
example
and
of what our tournaments will be like going
yeah,
forward.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
like, realistically, this is, we've moved to an entirely grassroots
yes,
situation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's what we're good at.
And so, like, we need to act like it. Like, and if you need, and if you're unfamiliar with how grassroots things work with, you know, tournament organizers and things like that, just take a long, hard look at the fighting game community, like Dustin said.
Right.
Because that's the only way that things work. Like, if you want to have, like, an actual competitive scene.
Right, yeah, you want to make it...
Everybody's got to be on the same page.
Have people go to get out there and start making one.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so, and it's, you know... And there's got to be a consistent, you know...
A standard.
One version.
Yeah, because it, like, you know, there's a reason that everyone plays by Evo rules in Street Fighter.
Right. Yeah.
Is because... That's the standard, you know. There's got to be a tournament standard.
You can't have the discussion of what the format is before every tournament.
You can't do it right as you're walking in the door, and you know, entry fees are being collected. You got to have that standard decided,
right?
And so we need to handle it like that in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we will too.
The community has always been pretty good at that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I mean, even for the retro tournaments,
everyone was on the same page.
Yeah
everyone.
I argued the shit out of it. But.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you showed up, you knew what cards you were using and what cards.
Even with Tim Patel's Fusion tournament, he had started planning that out a decent amount of time before.
All him.
People knew what they were getting into going in. Sure, there were probably some weird ruling things that had to happen because there's no way.
Surprisingly clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I respect,
and that was
complicated as hell. He put a lot of work into that, and part of the reason that I didn't end up engaging with that was he was putting so much work in, and I just didn't have the time to invest to get good in that format.
And it was
format.
Running alongside Panini.
Right, but I respected the shit out of the work he put in there.
And I know he's going to continue doing it, too.
Yeah,
yes.
Awesome.
Fusion format will live on.
Right, there's already talk about having a Fusion tournament at Gen Con.
Cool.
Right, exactly.
And but, I bet it happens.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm tentatively excited about what lies in store for the future. Like I said, it's not necessarily the future we would have wanted. Mm-hmm. Like if we had a choice of things, but I think it'll be an okay one, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
People who want to play will be able to continue to play in a way that's not that different than how they played before.
Yeah, yep. I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to
hopefully in improved ways with
some ways it'll
and in addition to the, you know, being able to take things to the chop block right away. It's like if. You know, Unleashed as an example, like everyone thought it was broken, or even Knowledge back in the day, Set One Knowledge.
Babies.
It was shut up.
Hey, whoa. Set One Knowledge. Yeah,
like Priorata.
Back then, like, because
as soon as
there's that high backlash of everyone just like, this is out of control. It, like,
you can have a
and I mean, especially having everyone that's working on it invested in playing the games week to week,
right? Yeah,
it'll be easier to tell, and then corrections can be made immediately.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait for like let's get this approved or whatever.
Yeah,
like, once you
we have a tournament this weekend, we can't just change it today. Or
it'll be good stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to the 1K in a few weeks.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It's the, let me...
21st. 21st, Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
If you find yourself...
It's going to be a good one.
Or can find yourself in the Metro Detroit area in a couple weeks, come hang out
with
us.
It's going to be a nice big farewell for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be gunslinging set 8 there.
Nice.
Seriously. That's for real.
That's nice. Pretty cool. I'm into it. It'll be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Like, it'll
be
a fun
streaming
afternoon.
Yeah,
food and drinks.
It's going to have that last day of school feel.
Right.
But
in some capacity.
We'll have a stream up.
We're not sure what the format's going to be.
Top-downs or matches. Maybe I'll juggle geese.
Whatever it takes to keep viewers.
That's right. We're going to get you guys engaged.
We're definitely going to try to have some kind of... a party afterwards, I'm sure.
Stream
somewhere.
Yeah, and we could.
Dude, we should.
For real.
Put the camera at the table.
Guys,
order it some french fries.
We need to do a salty suite. Stream it. We could even stream matches.
We'll have some stuff.
Stream some Street Fighter. I'll drink and play the shit out of some Street Fighter 5.
We'll have some stuff going on.
Stream Fro eating a full cake.
Yes. I wish I had video recording of that.
Oh my God.
I thought I did, but I don't.
That was an event.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts.
It should be a good time.
It's always a good time anyway, and this time I think it's going to be special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure fine details will be ironed out as the date approaches further.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean...
I think we're still waiting on something official from Mike. I don't know if he's,
about
like...
drinks.
I mean, the tournament's happening.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that changed was the prizes. No,
there's a little bit of
prize
record.
Right.
But it'll be bigger now, because I think a lot more people are going to show up.
Yeah, I would be surprised if it ended up with much less than one.
On the Eternal group that he was saying that, like, a few times he was saying some kind of announcement was going to be happening.
Right.
The last time
I didn't see him today.
Yeah. All he said was that the cash prize is not guaranteed, but it's still
based on attendance.
It's based on attendance. So if there are 20 people,
maybe a minimum of 500. I thought I saw.
That's what it used to be.
He took.
It was going to be 500 no matter what, and now it's strictly based on attendance.
If there's 20 people, there will be about 500, and if there's 40 people, there will be about 1,000. And I'm guessing there will be between 30 and 40, but there could be more than that.
We
got to figure out a way to get Toro up here.
Yes, we're working on it. he's already agreed to come up here, so
it's just a matter of the financial.
Yeah, well, we should find and I haven't done the due diligence to do this, but somebody should get a hold of him and just have him put out a PayPal account that he would be comfortable
having
people donate $1 or $2. I'll throw in $5 or $6 to get him up here.
I think most of the people would have
a nice letter.
Email.
A map.
You bring him a nice cold Coca-Cola when he gets off the plane.
Right. He doesn't actually know that I was fundraising for him. He said he was going to come anyway, but that it was going to be tight.
I
want to make it as easy on him
as possible. Yeah, I agree.
Because he's coming out here out of his own pocket, out of his own goodwill.
To
help us.
To not play in the event and make sure things run smoothly.
And he's great, and we all love him.
I actually said he could maybe be a player judge.
That's fine with me.
Because we do that all the time.
I'm expecting things to be a little fast and loose in a good way.
Right.
Afterwards, I gotta take him to Lafayette, Coney Island. So I gotta make a detour down to Detroit. Because I told him I would.
Okay. I mean, sure.
I'll drag everyone with me that I can.
Gotta get a dog with a lot of shit on it.
Oh, they're delicious, though.
Uh-huh.
Coneys are good. I'm all about a Coney dog.
That Michigan Coney Island.
That shit's on point.
So hopefully, flight to Michigan and...
Middle of February or late January.
People are coming to Michigan.
We know it's cold. Why would you come here?
The guys on the East Coast are saying less than 100, but people who don't live close to a big airport,
obviously, any flight
anywhere is going to cost a lot. So I hope people can make it out any way that they can.
Right.
Yeah, if you make it here, it'll be fun.
Or if you just tune in online.
Hopefully, it'll be fun if you just watch us mess around on the internet.
I'll make it worth your while.
I think it'll be a good time.
I think it'll be a great time.
It'll be great. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but I feel better.
We haven't talked about a lot of it since it happened. I've just been trying to focus on
the writing's been gradually being put on the wall for the last few months here. Yeah. So
It wasn't completely out of nowhere.
It wasn't a complete blindside one day.
It's still...
I know there are a lot of people who think that we touched on this earlier, but they think that the people at Panini really screwed us over intentionally or knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. I promise you, Richie did not have any idea.
Yeah.
He knew that maybe something was up.
Yeah.
But he didn't know
don't know what's happening.
He didn't know the announcement that was made was going to be made until it was made.
Right, yeah, because the other thing, which we didn't say, but I'm glad we're saying it before we close out here for sure, is that a set 8 is going to come out. It's not going to be the same set 8 that would have existed had the game been, a traditional release. But that set was, they were working on
something.
It was
mostly done, I think.
There was a plan to release a real set 8. It wasn't...
Right. Those designers
some bait and switch thing where they had shelved the game and weren't telling people about it.
They were operating under the assumption that the game was continuing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, the legal stuff worked out that could not happen,
right.
But that it wasn't we're done at set 7, but we're not going to tell anybody for 4 months. Like, that's not what went down.
There are a lot of emotions flying around, and you can try to point blame at some things, but the designers are definitely not the place to
just
point any blame at.
Just keep all your fingers at Bandai.
Blame yourself.
You can get mad at Bandai, mad at parts of Panini.
I will amend that slightly in that, because I don't know if people were doing this or not, but some of the retro posts led me to think people might be. If you're doing shit just going to the official Bandai Twitter account or something and blowing people up.
Yeah,
they
don't do
that.
Yeah, they don't care.
They have no idea what you're talking about,
and
you're just making someone's life
anything.
Shitty.
Yeah.
It's like we covered earlier. Vote with your dollar.
Yeah, don't buy the game.
Don't buy the Bandai game.
And honestly, the less people do things like that, the more likely virtual cards will be
Don't go to the hornet's nest. Come on.
Yeah, because if you're gunning out at Bandai over DBZ and they come across the virtual sets, they can...
If they think that's affecting their sales in any way, they could shut us down.
Yeah, they can do a cease and desist and, press legal action.
Even if they don't have a leg to stand on, we don't have the money to fight that.
It's not a thing that can't just stand up and try to challenge.
So the best thing to do is if you really hate Bandai, ignore them.
Keep a low profile and don't buy their products.
Stay away.
Put it out last time.
Right.
Do not engage.
Yep, that, and that's really the extent of it. Is
the
money is what matters, and if they don't make any money off the cards after a long enough timeline, they'll kill it. And I mean,
at the end of the day, play whichever game you like better anyway.
Yeah,
I think that'll be Panini. Mm-hmm. But if it's not,
if you prefer the other one, play it. Like,
yeah, but
I can totally live with that.
Go eat then go eat a hot and ready and sleep on a Motel 6.
Don't throw stones either way. Like, don't throw stones at the Panini community for whatever reason if you like the Bandai game. And don't pick on people for the Bandai game if you don't like it. Just don't engage.
This decision largely just came from Japan anyway.
Sure, yeah.
They're a big company, and somebody said, this is how it's going to be, and that's all it was to it. And even within Bandai, they're just following orders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just take a step back, take a few deep breaths, have a shot of whiskey, chill out.
Before you type, step away from the keyboard, give yourself 5 minutes, and then think.
Type it all into a Word note, and then just read it to yourself.
Yeah, imagine if someone was writing that shit at you.
Yeah, look at it and think, if I sent this to my mother, what would she think?
Right. If my mother worked for Bandai.
Yeah,
my uncle works at Bandai. I mean,
he's the one who told me this was happening six months ago.
I sold him.
Yeah,
he also said that they only plan on having it for a couple of months. So they're going to give it back after that.
The conspiracy theory that the McGraths knew.
Right. And if you push the truck, there's a Mew under it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
When lightly used Dragon Ball Z card game lessons.
If you fly around the Tower of Peach's Castle 1,000 times, you unlock Luigi. Mm-hmm.
I'm still making progress on that stuff. But.
You haven't bought it.
This.
Yep, I have a hole in my hand.
Oh, yeah.
All is real.
Yeah, no, it's... conspiracy theories aren't going to get anyone anywhere.
Nope.
We've learned that.
Neither will screaming into the void of the internet.
Yeah, no.
Is that what I'm doing?
Because mostly people don't
care. Like at
it might make you feel better, but it might not. Like, it might make someone else feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing you can do.
And I mean, as far as like the game moving forward... Everyone that gets really pissed and, you know, types shouting mean things on the internet, that just makes people fucking block the page.
Yeah.
And you're just killing any future that the game has, player by player.
So, like, wrapping all that up, basically, I would say, as long as you're not harassing anybody else, do what feels right for you.
Yeah.
If you want to be as immersed in this game as you've ever been... Keep playing games, keep building decks.
Stay on retro, there will be more information.
If you need a break, or you feel like you need to quit, like, do that too, if that's what feels right to you. Like, don't feel obligated, but like we said before, if you decide to come back, we'll be here in one form or another. Yep. Mm-hmm. So
we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we'll give you some updates, we'll send you a CRD,
mm-hmm.
all that shit.
And again, like, the thing that I had put up in my text write-up, which is what I think we'll close with on here, was that despite the game itself, which we all know and love, like, I still like the people and the relationships more than the product itself.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you decide to never engage with the card game again, if you ended up meeting some dudes who you just liked hanging out with, like, try to still hang out with them. Like, find some other thing to do. Go find other hobbies, play another card game,
Take
a sexy yoga class.
I mean... The long and short of us all here is that we all were brought together by DZ.
That's crazy
And then, like, 14
I made really good friends in this new iteration.
Yeah, right.
There are people I didn't ever talk to.
I was surprised how many new cool people came out for this game.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but speaking of which, Alec, you should really call in sick on
quit your job.
Just get sick.
Have food poisoning or something.
Yeah.
Just afflict yourself with like a non-lethal injury. Broke my hand, smash with hammer.
It's just like the army. Just shoot off your little toe and then get up
discharged.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Get the purple heart and you're good.
Yeah,
that's right.
But the point is, you know, we spent more time
outside of the game easily.
Yeah, mm-hmm. outside the game than we ever did playing the game.
Hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking Mountain Dew and eating pounds of gummy bears.
I don't do that anymore.
Just saying that gave me a headache. Again.
Yeah, but that's the point, is like we have tons of memories.
Right, and I hope we keep hanging out with some of the people that I wouldn't have normally seen for a long time because of this game. And I keep hanging out with them.
Agreed.
Yeah, Brandon Sutchin and Dan and Nick and everybody else.
I don't know how frequently like I'll be up at Eternal, but it'll be more than never. I kind of want to try to go up there like at least once a month.
That's what I'm
and do something. Like pull board games off the shelf or play another card game or
play DBZ
or do whatever.
Nobody's dying.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
technically, we all are.
I say, we
I'm going home. Thanks, Nihilus. I met soon.
You're welcome.
So did I.
That was the other thing that I had thought of, which is a little dark, but I was like...
What if you don't...
I was like, if a notable, somebody who was really active in contributing to the community had passed away, I would have been way more devastated by that than the game absolutely. Dying. Yeah. So, like, that 100%. Was the solace I took. I was like, well, all right, like, the product's gone, but, you know, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's... And that's huge. It's like, you know, we've made friendships, and so... This is a contrast that we've been fortunate of, is that in the fighting game community, people have died recently.
Sure, and the going back to dark as we can get, you know, if we stick together as a DBZ community long enough,
it'll be like high school reunions.
That's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, it's like the sixth iteration of DBZ. Who's left?
We should start a pool. Who would the last DBZ player be?
Wow, he gets the collections of everyone else has been contributors on this. I would definitely organize that. Well, yeah, one guy is just going to have every card and no one to play with.
To be buried with him in a
DBZ Highlander. Man.
A DBZ Pyramid.
But yeah, so no one's getting really real.
Yeah.
Well,
are you surprised?
Man, I don't know if we're going to top that.
Nope.
So I think that'll do us for now. But like I said, just at the end of the day, do what feels right for you. Do what makes you happy for the moment, and feel free to reevaluate.
The world isn't ending.
I love you guys.
Always be pivoting.
And we'll be around, so stay tuned for us. We'll still do DBZ dedicated stuff like this once in a while. Mm-hmm. We still do podcasts where we talk about video games relatively frequently, so if you guys follow the same feed, you'll stumble across that
stuff.
I bet
we have one of these even after the 1K, just talk about that.
Sure.
I was going to say, if you guys want to continue doing set reviews, I'm okay with
it. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely okay with that.
That sounds amazing. We should still
take as long.
Right, yeah, exactly. It'll be a little quicker, which sounds good.
And I mean, we'll be able to do one last look over before a publication of it.
No, I want to be here when you guys say this card is shit and what the hell is wrong with you, so I can shrug and say... Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know...
Blame Joey.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hang in there, folks. It feels bad right now, but we'll get through it. Yeah. It'll be all right.
I want to give a thank you to Ake, for sure, for bringing this back, because I know this was originally his project, and it's kind of amazing that it happened at all.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And especially thank you to Richie, because he's been, like, the heart of the community and the heart of the game.
He put in more hours than, like, he put in a lot of work.
And the work he did, I assure you, was not...
Not always
adequately
seen.
Compensated.
Yeah, that too.
He did everything that you could ever ask and more. So, thank you, Richie.
And thanks everyone who played the game, went to a tournament, listened to these podcasts, or even just posted on the retro group for any reason at all.
Sure, other people who are putting out
all the judges
online,
too.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, judges, tournament organizers, everybody.
I have no problem calling out Jason Toro again specifically, because every event that dude was at was like clockwork. Mm-hmm. Like, he was fucking crushing it.
The people that maintain the rules, like James and Daniel Green and Derek,
you guys
running the wiki.
A lot of people, a lot of people put in a shitload of work that like goes unnoticed until it's gone.
It wasn't
like,
unappreciated.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so good. You guys are the best. Stay strong. And we'll be back with more in the future, but it's just a bump in the road. It's not a full stop on the future of this game, so don't lose heart.
Send us an email if you get sad.
Send nudes.
Send nudes to
Just send them to me.
Facebook message to Phil. Like, if he makes you an offer on Popo, just respond with a dick pic. It'll be fine.
And send me all your power mimics.
Yes.
If you have extra power mimics, just, you know, send me a message.
Make retro gay again.
Already there.
That's right. Done.
Gotcha covered.
That'll do it, guys. Thank you so much. We will see you
everybody.
In the future.
Woo!
Bye, guys.
Bye.